Well, it's good to be back again. It's been a joy to be able to come and minister the Word of God with you. And this morning, again, we want to look at the Word of God. And I've chosen this passage in 1 John. And I really want to thank Terrain for the opportunity to come and serve because, you know, to me, it's a privilege to be able to serve God in your church. And I thought, since I'm going to be here once a month and to share the word, I thought I'd be good to go through the whole book of John, 1 John. So it's going to be a series. And today is the first of the series in 1 John. And we're going to look at 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 to 10. And this passage talks about our relationship with God. Talks about how can we have fellowship with God. Because I think it's important as Christian that we have a relationship, because Christianity is not about coming to church only. It's not about having the communion. It's not about singing songs. It's not about just, you know, reading the Word of God and praying. It's about a relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ. So before we go into the Word, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your Word. We thank you that we have a relationship with you through Jesus Christ. Thank you that you're a God, you're a mighty God, you are a wonderful God, an awesome God, and yet you want to come and have this relationship with each one of us in an intimate way. And this morning, as we look into your word, we pray that your spirit will enlighten our minds and our hearts and teach us what it means to have this relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, this chapter, those of you who have your Bible, you may want to turn to that passage because I think it's good to follow along. And I will be referring to this passage quite a bit. And if you have your Bible open, it'd be good to follow along. And here we read in verse 5, chapter 1, verse 5, said, "This is a message we have heard from him and declared to you." And this sentence is referring to John the apostle writing to Christians. And he talks about the message that he heard from our Lord. The apostle John is really the author of this book. In fact, he not only wrote the three letters of John, 1 John, 1st and 2nd, 3rd John. He also wrote the Gospel of John. And he wrote Revelation as well. And so he's the beloved apostle of Jesus Christ. And when he wrote this, he says, "This is the message we have heard from him." In other words, he has a first-hand message from God, from our Lord. It's not something that he came up with. In other words, this is a message that he heard and that we have heard from him, Jesus Christ. And he declared to us this morning. And it says, God is light. God is light. Interestingly, you know, this is a phrase that John, proclaimed, that God is light. You notice, you know, if you read the whole book of 1 John, the theme of the book is fellowship with God. And then when it says God is light, it's interesting because we need to realize that God is indeed light. Often we look at God as love, right? God is love. We read that, oh, God is a loving God. God is love. In fact, John did not start with God is love. In fact, if you read the book of 1 John, you find that God is love only comes in chapter 4. Only in chapter 4 that John talks about God as love, is love. He didn't start off with God is love. He started off with God is light. Why? Why is it so important? Because when he starts off with God as love, then we tend to take that for granted. Right? Oh, God is love. You know, yeah, he's so loving. So whatever I do, you know, he will love us. I don't have to be very, you know, afraid. Because he's so loving. If God loves us, then, you know, I can do anything because he will love us anyway, if he is love, right? But when he says God is light, then we need to ask ourselves, what does that mean? Can I just, you know, take God's love for granted anymore? No, because he says God is light and in him there is no darkness. No darkness at all. And then in verse 6 he says, if we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. And so here he unpacks for us what it means by God is light. You know, light is a good thing, right? And how many of you really like to be in the light? Any of you? All of you like to be in the light. You don't want to be in darkness, right? How many of you feel that darkness is not good? I remember when I was a kid, of course, when I was a kid, we were quite poor. And we don't have a room to, I don't have a room to myself. We all, kind of share, the same room. But then when the light is out, I kind of like, oh, no, it's not good, It's scary. You like to be in the dark? No, right? You don't want to be in the dark. I also remember, I don't know whether I shared this with you, I used to live near the cemetery. You know a cemetery? It's where they bury the dead. And when I was a kid, I was, privileged to be saved and I was going to church. And I had to go to church. The fellowship, the youth fellowship that I go to is on a Saturday evening. And by the time we are done, it's quite late, right? And I had to walk home from church to my home. But I had to walk past the cemetery to go home. And I tell you, it's scary. Because the cemetery is dark. There's no light in the cemetery. Not like a park where you have light, right? It's dark, and then, you had to walk in through the cemetery to get home. And I tell you, it was not a very pleasant experience. And so what I did, do you know what I do when I had to walk through the cemetery? I sing praises to God. Very loud. One way to get me, get my fear out of, walking through the cemetery. But, but the point is, we don't like to be in the dark, right? We don't like to be in the dark. Dark is not good. But light is good. We want light. That's why this morning when the sun comes out, you wake up, right? You wake up and you say, oh, this is a new day. I thank God for this new day. Thank you that we have light. Imagine if you have no light. Whole day. How many of you experienced the power breakout? there's outage. It's not good too, right? Do you like power outage? No light? No? Especially for those young people, right? You don't want the power to be out because you want to have, computer, you want to go into the internet. No power means no internet. No power means no television. No power means nothing. And there's no light. It's not good. So God is light, and light is important because light gives life. All living creatures on earth needs light. All living creatures need light. Right? Plants need light. No light means the plant will not grow. All of us need light, especially in the winter when you don't have a lot of light. We need to take what? Vitamin D, right? Because light gives us vitamin D, sunlight. And so God is light, and God is good. And here says, John says that because God is light, there is no darkness at all. When we go to heaven one day, when everything is over, we all in heaven. Where is the light that comes from? The light comes from God. In heaven, there is no, don't need power anymore. You don't need power generation. You don't need, light bulbs. You don't have to turn on the light. God is light, and we have light. Eternally. And says, we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness. We lie and do not live by the truth. So in other words, light meaning that we have to walk in the light because God is light. And if you say you have a relationship with God, you need to live in the light. Because the Bible also tells us that people who doesn't like to live in the light are sinful. Especially for human beings, we are born sinful, right? We like to live in darkness. We like to walk in darkness. We like to hide. We don't want to tell. When we did something wrong, we want to hide, right? If you do something right, you want to tell people, oh, I did this right thing. But if you did something wrong, you become what? Ashamed. You feel embarrassed. And so what do you do? People who do wrong things will want to hide. Hide from God. Hide from the light. And so that's why it says to have fellowship with the Holy God, we must not walk in darkness, but walk in the light. So what does that mean? And what does it mean to walk in the light? To have fellowship with God, we must recognize that God is absolutely holy. Because He's light. He's absolutely holy. John is not saying that, God, because God is love, then, you know, don't take God's holiness seriously. But because God is holy, we need to live in holiness as well. And so in order to have fellowship with God, we need to walk with God in holiness. Because our faith in God, it's not about doing things. It's not about coming to church only. It's not about, you know, giving the offering. It's not about taking the Holy Communion. It's not about just the doing. It is a relationship. We need to have a relationship with God. And if you don't have a relationship with God, what you do in church on Sunday is meaningless. You know that? If you have no relationship with God, taking the Holy Communion means nothing. You have no relationship with God, singing all the praises this morning is nothing. Means nothing. But it has tremendous meaning if you have a relationship with God. And a God that we worship is a God of relationship. He's not a God that is far away. He's kind of up in heaven and then looking down on us and then try and say, oh, you did something wrong. You did something wrong. I'm going to punish you. I'm going to punish you. It's not like that. Our God is not like that. Our God wants to come into our presence. He wants to come and say, hey, how are you? I want to be your God. I want to relate with you. How many of you have friends? You have friends? No friends? All want to have friends. Like you like to have friends. Why? Why we want to have friends? Because we are creatures of relationship. God is relational. And so when he's relational, he created all of us to be relational too. And so we have this desire to want to relate with each other. First of all, God created us through the family, right? We are not, we don't exist independently from anyone. We don't just exist out of nothing. We came into this world through relationship. We came into this world through a family. All of us have family. We all belong to a family. And family means relationship. We relate with our parents, our father. We relate with our mother. We have siblings. We relate with our siblings. And then we have the extended family as well. We relate with our grandparents. We relate with our aunts and uncles. And then when we go to school, we relate with our friends in school. And so we are creatures of relationship. We don't want to be alone. The biggest problem in this world now is loneliness. People get lonely, even in crowds. How many have Facebook accounts? You have Facebook account? How many have, like, I have 500, you know, Facebook friends. Do you have that many? Are they real friends? You ask. You can have a lot of Facebook friends. But are they true friends? Not really. You're probably only able to relate with a handful. Right? I mean, I'm talking about real relationship. I'm not talking about, hey, hi, I know your name from somewhere. Or we share the same common interest. It's not just like that. Relationship means we want to build on it. You want to come together. You want to share things together. Right? That's what relationship is all about. If you have a relationship with somebody, you want to constantly want to be with that person. That's what relationship does. If you don't want to be that person, you know, you say, oh, I hate to go and meet that person, then that's not a relationship. But you say, oh, I have a friend, then you want to say, hey, can we do things together? Can we hang out? Let's go hang out. Let's go, you know, eat. Let's go have fun. That's what relationship is all about. And so if you translate that to God, it's the same way, same thing. God wants to relate with us. God constantly seeking to relate with us. Because he's a relational God. In fact, it is us that we are the problem. Sometimes we don't want to relate with God. Why? You say, oh, you know, I don't want to relate with God. Because if I know God is light, God is holy, if I did something wrong, I don't want to relate. I feel bad. I feel, you know, God will punish me. But in any case, God will want to relate with us constantly. And so we need to respond in relationship with Him. And so in order to have this relationship, we need to walk in the light. In other words, we need to obey God. We want to get rid of all our you know, bad behaviors. We want to respond to God, you know, in trust and obey. This morning, the song, you know, so good song, trust and obey. If you want to have a relationship with God, you need to have trust, meaning believe in God. But on top of that, you need to obey too. Trusting God is not easy sometimes, but it's not that it's, you know, very challenging, right? Because if you believe in God, you have trust in God. But the other part of trust is the obedience part that is difficult, because it's hard to be obedient sometimes. We want to do our own thing. We are sinful and we do sinful things. And so in order to be happy in Jesus, we need to trust and obey. And here John talks about this relation that we have is that we have to walk in the light in order to have that relationship. Because God cannot have a relationship with us if we walk in darkness. Because it's light. Light and darkness do not mix. Right? You cannot. If you go into a dark room, when you turn on the light, darkness disappears. You can't say, oh, I want to keep that darkness when I turn on the light. I want to turn on a light and I want to have that corner of the room still dark. It's not going to happen. Because light is powerful. When light is on, all darkness disappears. That's the power of God. But we have the desire, the nature to want to live in darkness. And so to have fellowship with God, we must begin with holiness. We must begin to walk in the light. Meaning that we need to walk in obedience to God's word. We must not walk in sinfulness. We must not walk in ways that will not please God. And we need to continue to have that relationship with God renewed. And so you need to understand God's will in order to walk in obedience, right? Just like obeying your parents. For those of us who are children, it's not easy, isn't it? Our parents say, oh, you know, do this. Our parents say, you know, be a good person. You know, I want you to study hard. I want you to not do bad things. And sometimes it's not easy to be obedient. But you know in none of us want to be purposely, you know, go against our parents, right? None of us. We don't want to disobey our parents. We don't want to disobey our teachers. We don't want to disobey God. It's not something that we want to deliberately do it. But yet, we fail. Sometimes we disobey because of our sinful nature. But the good news is that God is love also. And God loves us enough, more than enough, to want us to come back to Him. Same with our parents. Sometimes our parents, you know, punish us because we did something wrong. But they do it not because they want to make us feel miserable, but because they love us. Love us enough to want to correct us. Imagine if you have a parent that don't care. Oh, whatever you do, you know, if you you take drugs, if you, you know, gamble, if you lie, and your parents say, you know, do whatever you want. I tell you, that's not good. If you're smart enough, you know that if your parents say, I don't care, you do whatever you like, that is not love. And you don't want that to happen, right? You want them to love you. And when they love you, they want to correct you because they want you to be walking in the light too. The things also about light is that sometimes we fail to walk in the light, and then we feel miserable. We feel miserable because we know, especially if you're a believer, you know that when you commit something, when you did something wrong, you feel bad. But I want to encourage you, because in this passage, one of my favorite verses here is found in the verse 9, verse 9. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This is one of my favorite verses in Scripture. Why? Because it says, if I commit a sin, if I did something wrong, if I didn't walk in the light for some reasons, I can turn to this verse and say, if I confess my sins to God, God is faithful. God is faithful and just and will forgive my sin and purify me from all unrighteousness. Isn't that great to hear that? That God does not harbor anger against us when we commit sins against Him. He will forgive us if we confess our sins. Confessing means you tell God, I'm wrong. You admit that you're wrong. That's confession. Right? Of course, when you say, I'm sorry, I'm wrong, then you need to change, right? Some people say, sorry, it'd be easy to say sorry, but then continue to do the same thing, right? That is not confession. That's not repentant. That is just words only. You don't want people to say, I'm sorry, and then not change. God expects us to confess our sins and to turn around, and the guarantee is that God will forgive us. No question. God will forgive our sins if we confess our sins. And that's good news, because we know we sin against God, you know, all the time. And we need to come before God and confess our sin. And so when we come before God and confess our sin, then we are turned around, and then we need to walk in the light again and not walk in darkness. All right? And so we need to continually confess our sin. Confessing of our sins is not a one-time thing. It's a lifelong thing. We need to learn to continually confessing our sins. Our salvation in Jesus Christ is a one-time thing. In other words, when you made that decision by faith to believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God forgives the sin and you become a child of God. That is one moment in your life. But subsequently, we need to continually confess our sins. We will not be given new salvation all the time, for sure. It's not what happened. See, when we confess our sins and before God, we will not get new salvation, because what you have in Jesus Christ is eternal. Your salvation is once and for all. But our confession of our sins is an ongoing thing. And sometimes it can be a daily thing, especially how you walk with your life. And so confession is continual. We need to do that constantly. We need to do that regularly, because we need to come before God and walk in the light and to confess our sin, because if we have walked in darkness, then we need to change. And so this is important. To walk in the light is to live openly before God as well. It's not just, sometimes we live our lives in secret, because sometimes we didn't do the right thing, we live in secrets. But we need to walk in the light, and we need to live openly before God, seeking to be holy and hating all the sin in our lives. You know, there is a phrase, those of you who know Chinese, Mandarin. How many knows Mandarin here? Mandarin, right? There's a phrase called 光明正大, right? Do you know what that means? 光明正大. It's interesting that our Chinese language has a lot of theological meaning. Sometimes, if you understand Mandarin, if you read the Mandarin words, it's really, there's a lot of biblical and theological underlined the meaning. Because the word 光明正大 has to do with walking in the light. Guang means light, right? If you know Mandarin. Ming means bright, because when it's light, it's going to be bright. Zhen means righteousness or just, right? Da means you do it openly. You don't do it in secret. You don't hide it. When you have light, when you have justice, when you have righteousness, you live openly. You have no shame. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be embarrassed. Only when people who live in sin will be embarrassed. They don't want to be open. They don't want to tell people. They hide it. Right? That's what happens. That's natural. But if you live a righteous life, you walk in the light, and you follow and obey God in all that you do in your life, then you can walk with pride, not in a bad way. You can walk with confidence. You can walk with brightness. You can walk with light. You can walk with openness. And you don't have to hide. Isn't that interesting? And that's a good thing. And we need to do that in our lives. We need to be able to walk, you know, wherever we go and proclaim God without feeling embarrassed about it. We need to be able to be a witness and to be salt and light in this world, knowing that God is our light, that we don't have to be embarrassed, that we don't have to hide, that we don't have to be feeling that, oh, you know, I'm not good enough. But if you walk in the light, you will be blessed in that way. And also in the same way, this morning when we take the Lord's Supper, this is also part of the reason why we come to the table. It's an open table. It's open to everyone who walks in the light. If you walk in the light, you can come to the table with confidence. No need to be embarrassed. Also, walking in the light will result in fellowship with God, but also fellowship with His people. So there is a twofold relationship with God and with each other. Walking in the light means that when we have this relationship with God, then our relationship with our brothers and sisters will be also be good. Right? And so it's important that we have good relationship with God. And it is important that we have good relationship with each other, because we are all part of the body of Christ. Fellowship with God and fellowship with other believers is always linked. You cannot say, I'm a Christian. I have a relationship with God, but I don't want to go to church. I don't want to have anything to do with the body of Christ. It's not going to work. It doesn't make sense. Right? How can you be a Christian and not relate with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Because when you go to heaven, you're not going to be alone. You can't say, oh, no, when I go to heaven, I'm going to be just relate with God. The rest of the Christian, you know, community, I don't care. It's not going to happen. Because if you read Revelation, all the tongues, all the nations, all the people who receive Jesus Christ will come together in heaven and we will all worship God. There will be billions and billions of people, thousands of people worshiping God together. You cannot be alone. That's what it means. And so when we have relationship with God, when we have fellowship with God, we will have fellowship with our belief, with our brothers and sisters. You know, sometimes the false teachers want to tell you to be separate from the group. False teachers, you know, come into the church and say, oh, you know, you don't have to have fellowship in the church. It's just, you know, not good. That's false teaching. The church is where God's people relate. It is where we gather together to grow in our relationship. We need each other in our walk with God. We are here to support and encourage each other. We're here not to be alone. I remember an example that I used to give when I talk about the church is, you know, I serve in the army. In Singapore, we had to serve the army. And, you know, when you're in the army, we are all at different stages of our physical fitness, right? Same here. I mean, we all have different physical fitness here. Some of you can have more stamina, more strength than others. And so in the army, we have to train as a platoon. It means as a group. We have to train together. And every morning, we were asked to wake up early in the morning at 5 a.m., and put on our physical whatever attire and run 5 kilometers every morning, 5 kilometers. But we are not only to run individually, we have to run as a platoon. In other words, we have to run in formation, rows of threes, and we have to run in formation. Can you imagine that in a platoon, in a formation, if all of us are not of the same physical fitness, what happened? Some of us who are fitter will be running ahead. Those who are not so fit will be, you know, slacking behind after a few kilometers, right? Those of you who have done running, you know. If you're fit, you can all keep going, right? And you can run as fast as you want. But if you're not fit, you will be exhausted after a while, and then you will fall back. And that's not good, because you cannot run in formation if you are not fit. So what happened? The whole platoon will be in a mess. There won't be a formation. And then we get punished. Our commander is, hey, you know, you shouldn't be that, you know, I'm going to punish you. We run two more rounds. So one of the things or at least I found out that one of the ways to help the platoon run in formation is to help each other. We can help each other run in formation so that we don't, you know, some will not slack off too much. Those who are fit will may not be too far ahead. So what happens is that those who are fit will be running, those will be running in front, right? Because they are fitter, they will be in the front. And so what happens when we see people falling back? What happens is that the fit one will run backwards and go behind the not-so-fit one, and go behind them, run behind them. Maybe slower, that's good. But the fact is that when you slack down, you go behind, you keep the formation still, and hope it to run at a pace of the least fit. You know what I'm saying? And you keep that formation, and you can accomplish, you can finish the 5 kilometers as a formation without having to have people, you know, slacking off. And after a few months, you find that everybody will be building up their fitness. And then one day, everybody will be running on the same pace. This is what happens in the church. Those of us who are more spiritual, so to speak, those of us who are leaders, those of us who are Bible study leaders who are leading worship, whoever who are more spiritual, whoever a stronger relationship with God, need to care for those of us who are weaker in our relationship with God. We need to learn to encourage them. We need to run behind them. We need to, you know, kind of support them in their running. And they should not stop running, because once you stop running, means you're done, right? They have to run slower pace. That's fine. At least walk. You not run, walk. But those who are stronger need to be able to come behind and support them, so that they will also continue to grow and move forward in that relationship. This is what fellowship is all about. This is what the church is all about. It's not about me, I'm so spiritual, I'm going to run ahead. God doesn't want that to happen. God wants us to be able to come into the fellowship and help those who are weaker, especially those who are younger in the faith. And so here, the way of having fellowship with God is to walk in the light, is to obey God, is to confess our sin before Him if we sin against Him, and continue to be renewed in a relationship. And then also we need to walk in the light with those together in the fellowship. Walking in the light starts when you are young now. Don't wait till you're older. Don't say, oh, you know, now I don't have to walk in the light. Maybe when I'm, you know, 40 years old, when I'm 30 years old, you know, later I can then walk in the light. Now I can just enjoy myself. No, don't do that. You know, we all develop habits, right? Those of us who are older know that, you know, you develop habits over time. When you start young and you develop good habits, when you're older, I tell you, it's so much easier. And so you have to start young. Don't say, oh, you know, I'm still young, I'm just 15 years old, I don't have to be serious about God's word. Wait till I'm 30 years old. Oh, wait till I'm married, then I'll, you know. When you're married and then you decided to be, you know, follow God, it's become much harder and harder, because you did not develop a good habit over time. Those of us who are older has hope too. Don't think that, oh, I'm so old now, I just cannot change, you know, I cannot develop good habits anymore. That's not true either. Older ones, we can develop good habits as well and continue to walk in the light just as those who are younger. Don't wait till you're older. Start now. You need to break old habits and develop new ones. New ones in walking in the light. And so start walking in the light today. This is what God says, to walk in the light, so that we have that relationship with Him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are a God that cares for us, a God that loves us. But you are a God of light, and you want us to walk in the light. And we need to walk in the light because we are your children. We are children of light. We know that oftentimes it's challenging. It's not easy. But you are a God that does not look at our failures only. You look at our attitude, our hearts. And if we seek to do good, we seek to obey you in our walk, we know that, and if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to continue to give us the ability and strength to walk in the light. Help us to grow in our relationship. Help us not to give up, because sometimes the road can be challenging. But because we have you, because you are our strength, you are our God, and you will help us to continue this journey till the end. In Jesus' name, amen.